What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, more pitching podcast from pitcherlist.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is August 15th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Happy Friday, everybody. But Thursday, well, the Lords were a-leaping with Brad Lord. He had a phenomenal start against the Phillies. Six innings of two earned runs. Oh my gosh, Brad Lord doing this? How does he do that? It was eight base runners. Keep in mind, three strikeouts. He didn't get a win. Still, the fact that he went six innings of two earned runs, interesting. And he can be efficient like this because he's a sinker baller. He kind of reminds me a little bit of how Brady Singer scrunches up before delivery. Yeah, if he can get that sinker inside a ton and induce those outs, fine. He does mix in a four-seamer times. It's like 2-to-1 ratio sinker to four-seamer against right-handers and kind of 1-to-1 against lefties with the four-seamer going upstairs. It is not a high-vert four-seamer. It's really just to give a different look than the sinker, but it also does have more horizontal than you'd expect. So it has about 10 inches of vert with about 16 inches of horizontal, which is actually interesting two-plane movement you don't normally see. And then you have a gyro slider with it and a changeup that matches the sinker just 8 miles per hour slower. It's about an 18-inch horizontal sinker. It's 94, 95. He has to command it beautifully. And there are times that the sinker at like 4 inches vert, 5 inches vert, can be very good with sink underneath bats, the right-handers. He did that with a changeup once or twice too. It was pretty cool. But yeah, this is really a desperate quality start play. You need to have Koufax helping out. 3 Ks to get through six innings, right? And he had to wriggle through some jams to get a base runners for just 2 runs. Brad Lord is not the kind of guy you want to go for. It's also the Nationals, which I wouldn't say have the best defense or the best win chance. It's not a good situation. I would say Eduardo Rodriguez, though, is a much more interesting surprise as he went into Coors and had success. That innately isn't so surprising. 7 innings, 1 run, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 6 Ks. Got a win. Phenomenal start across the board for your fantasy performance. But it was the fact that he went 91, 92 mile per hour four-seamers 61% of the time. What? That worked? Really? In Coors where it's like, oh, fastballs, bam, bam, bam. No. It worked. I mean, yes, having the changeup match it down and away when it was there and having this cutter too and different things outside of it. So 40% of his pitches were kind of like the four-seamer, but not. And it was all right-handers because it's the Rockies, right? But man, oh boy, that's weird and good job, Eduardo. Also, those who streamed him, man, gosh, PL Bot got that. If you don't know what PL Bot is, it's our daily projection system. Also does weekly projections for this current week and the week after. We're also right now working on rest of season projections for next year, where you can import your fantasy teams and we give you your projections daily, weekly, and of course the rest of the season. And so you got to get in on that with PL Pro Yearly. Get 15% off with promo code PODCAST, all capitals PODCAST, at pitcherlist.com/premium. That's 15% off PL Pro Yearly. I think that's over $40 saved, something like that. It's pretty great. Come on in. We are building some incredible things, and this is the number one way to support us for everything that we do. You also get like an ad-free version of the website and access to our incredible Discord. In many more apps like my sit and start for 2 weeks. 2 weeks worth of my rankings of probable start and questionable start and auto start. All of that for 2 weeks. You get a grid just showcasing that so you can plan out your weeks really well. There's so many things we do. Process Plus, rolling charts. I mean, it's just endless. It's like Amazon Prime for fantasy baseball. You should definitely get on board with it. Promo code PODCAST, 15% off. Pitcherlist.com/premium on PL Pro Yearly. All right. So, fine, PL Bot, you got it right with Eduardo Rodriguez. You are beating me by 1 game because I stayed consistent. I got Tomoyuki Sugano against the Mariners. Got the win, 5.1 innings of 1 run, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 2 Ks. And honestly, not the best commanded game. What I do like about Sugano at times is that he has a splitter and a four-seamer that he commands so well against lefties doing the Blake Snell blueprint and going up and in with that four-seamer, down away with the splitter. Didn't really see that with the four-seamer here. The splitter was good. And the right-handed approach with sweepers was actually better than expected. Much better down and away with that sweeper for a fair number of outs. So thank you, Koufax, for helping. If you don't know Koufax, of course, that is me referring to BABIP. Thank you so much. Only 2 strikeouts and 5.1 innings for Sugano. It was not in Seattle. It was in Baltimore. But now he has to head to Fenway. Don't love that. So no thank you, Sugano. Thank you, Scherzer. 7 innings and a win against the Cubs. 1 run ball, 6 base runners, 3 Ks. Oh, again, Koufax, fine. some fly ball outs to the warning track and all of that, sure. But that's pretty cool. And he has failed to disappoint. That is, Scherzer has just been consistently good for you. And now he gets the Pirates, and now he gets the Twins, and then he gets the Reds in Great American Ballpark. Oh boy, sign me up, Max Scherzer. It's one of those weird things where I don't watch Scherzer and go, oh my gosh, his stuff is so great. His slider is getting a 25% swing strike rate of old, and his four-seamer, my gosh, this and that. It doesn't feel that way. However, it's Scherzer. He is a veteran who knows how to utilize his pitches better. It's just one of those things that is harder to quantify, and you just got to trust this. He knows how to pitch. It's that I feel so weird because I get so many comments about that, but random pitchers, he knows how to pitch and stuff. Like, well, fine. You got to give some sort of little bonus to a guy like Scherzer who's been in it for so long. Maybe I should be giving it to Kershaw. I just still can't believe that works. Scherzer is a little bit more believable with a wider arsenal and more whiffability, at least I think it's a better fastball. Kershaw does have better whiffability with his slider. It's like 45% usage. But I think Scherzer's slider, cutter, all this stuff, changeup, curve, it all works really well. Bryce Elder, another surprising one. I mean, a lot of bad matchups bad opportunities for starters and streams went well. Bryce Elder got the win against the Mets, 7 innings of 200 runs. My gosh, another 7-inning game. 5 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks. He's kind of a werewolf. Not really. I can't say that about Bryce Elder. What I am shocked about, though, is that his four-seamer had a 20% swing strike rate. He threw this against lefties mostly and went 5 for 26 whiffs as he went upstairs with it. And if you think about Elder, you should think of sinkers and sliders, like a straight-up sinker-slider guy. So why is that happening now? Well, it's because it's different. It's not expected. And he's going upstairs with them, and the guys are like, what? It's not supposed to be like this. So maybe he can pull that again versus the White Sox up next, or maybe even Miami after that. I don't want to do it. We've been burned by Elder in the past. Sure, maybe this new look, but the White Sox should know. Maybe not. It's up to you if you want to trust your Elder or not. I don't. Matthew Boyd against the Jays, 7 innings, 200 runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts against Toronto in Toronto. Man, they really crush lefties, and they're much better at home. And this is pretty dang cool, I gotta say. He went 90% four-seamers and changeups to right-handers. And he pretty much only faced right-handers. He did face some lefties, but really it's just that. The slider and the curve are like, whatever. We're not really going to take the next step this year, but it doesn't matter, clearly. The dead-end ball is certainly helping guys like Matthew Boyd, right? It's obviously also helping, like, Joe Ryan. But these pitchers who are more home run prone than others, and others otherwise are really good, are seeing these great seasons. We're also seeing Nick Pivetta, for example, have a fantastic one. And I will mention, there's like Shane Boz and Ryan Pepiot having to deal with George Steinbrenner Field. There's some stuff in Sacre Verde. Okay, fine with the Athletics. But these other ones, like, okay, Pivetta's in San Diego, and actually that hasn't hurt him as much. Matthew Boyd's been limited by Wrigley a bit. I guess Scherzer in Rogers Center, I guess, is fine. I don't know. It is something to note about this season, and I wonder, I mean, guessing how the ball is going to be made and act in the next season is just impossible. However, you should probably not think it's going to be bouncy ball next year, and maybe they stabilize this one, even though this is the most deadened ball in a while, which makes no sense. Doesn't MLB want home runs? I don't know. I don't know. Why can't we get answers to this? All right. I'm going to stop rambling about that and move on to, say, Kodai Senga and Tanner Bibee and Skubal and Ober and Luzardo, who all have some interesting things to talk about. We're going to talk about all of them and more after this break. Kodai Senga, 5.2 innings of 200 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts. Is he back? Oh my gosh, he finally had a good start. Kinda? Maybe? The Ghost Fork did have 4 strikeouts, but it was a 55% strike rate. Not really the overwhelming, haha, I got you pitch, but really, just for strikeouts, fine. How do you get there? 74% strikes on the four-seamer, nice. 45% on the cutter. Oh no. It did earn outs, though. 4 outs in play. The sweeper also earned 3 on its own out of 9 thrown. So fine. We also saw some sinkers in there, too, and help out a little bit. Okay. It's a step in the right direction because we are seeing those strikeouts on the Ghost Fork. It is also strikes with a four-seamer, cool, but that cutter needs to be a major element of it too. It was thrown about 20 times. It can't really survive at 45% strike, so thank you, Atlanta. But we're not out of the woods yet. We're just happy to see the Ghost Fork getting whiffs again. So that's cool. You have Tanner Bibee against the Marlins. Got a win, yes, in 200 runs and 5.2 innings, but 5 hits and 4 walks and only 6 whiffs. 21% CSW and 102 pitches for Bibee. Couldn't get through 6 there. He also had 5 strikeouts. It's just, no, this is not Bibee. And I've been waiting so long for Tanner Bibee to figure it out. But yeah, I got to say, guys, it is so frustrating for me individually. Because when Tanner Bibee first came up, I was very much like, eh, I'm not in on this. And it was because the slider and the changeup, despite getting a lot of whiffs, were not really commanded well. And then entering the next season, I kind of shrugged my shoulders and said, fine, I guess, you know, I'll put him like a little bit lower than consensus, but I know that you have to roll with him, so fine. And he was a little shaky at first, and then he settled down, moving to a cutter. And that really turned into that slider from before, and he still had those whiffs and everything was good. Then entering this year, I said, finally, you know what? I recognize Bibee now. A year and a half of having whiffs on 2 secondary pitches and being a high volume guy, this seems like a pretty safe SP2, SP3, just because you're going to get strikeouts, you're going to get good ratios and everything like that. Just like, you know what? Fine. And then he does this. He doesn't replicate it whatsoever. I hate that so much when I'm finally just like, all right, I'll accept it. And then, no, I got to stick to my guns. But then again, I shouldn't stick to my guns. I don't know. It's a process. With Tanner Bibee, he still has not found that command. He's not found the same whiff ability on his cutter. He has not had the same success with the changeup. It's just all been worse this season. I can't really tell you why. I can also tell you that he's going to be at a discount next year, and I would absolutely take a chance if he's going at the end of your drafts because he has the volume. He has the past ability to get whiffs. I'm very curious where he lands. I'm not going to be banking on him returning, but it does feel like it's not that different from before. So if it was such an exception for a year and a half, that's kind of weird. But I don't know. I feel like something's going to change here, and he's going to be better next year. Could be like an Alec Manoah, though. Yeah. Logan Evans against the Orioles. 4 innings, 2 earned runs, 3 hits, 4 walks, and just 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? Well, let's be honest. Why is he pitching? Oh, right. The Mariners didn't do anything at the trade deadline. But hey, 2 earned runs. Only 2 earned runs in 4 innings. That's a 4.5 ERA. And they lost the game. And it's just one of those things like, man, you see Martin Perez. I know this is crazy. Martin Perez against the White Sox just returned and looked fine over 3 innings and such. Like, wouldn't you think that Martin Perez would be a little bit better than this? Were the White Sox really asking so much for him? They're not going to get a comp pick for him or something. Like, this is the kind of stuff that just boggles my mind. And I can't believe that the Mariners are really seeing Logan Evans as a long-term play while they really need to win every single game they can at this point. Anyway, Logan Evans, don't trust him. He doesn't get a sinker inside far enough, and he doesn't have juice across the arsenal. 4 walks, 2. 1 strikeout. Oh, boy. Tarik Skubal, ace, is going to allow 3-plus earned runs now in 3 straight games. And keep in mind, he allowed 3 earned runs or more in 6 games prior across 21 starts. He's made 24 starts so far this year. Oh, boy. What's going on? This was the fastball. Both of the four-seamer and the sinker going under 60% strikes. Can't do that. Now, good news. We have the changeup still being filthy. We have 97-mile-per-hour velocity. And it's Skubal. Like, every single pitcher, every single year, goes through a moment of just, ugh, I'm a little bit off right now. I'm a little bit more exhausted or something than I used to be. He even did get an extra day's rest for this one. Remember Troy Melton starting? That was because of Skubal. It didn't quite work. But really, it might be just like, okay, he's feeling refreshed now, but just needs to get back into rhythm. I would not worry about this with Skubal, of course. What are you going to do anyway? Like, bench him? You can't trade him at this point. I got to drop him. Like, you just keep going with Skubal. And I wouldn't suggest benching Jesus Luzardo, moving on from him either. He went against the Nationals, 6 innings, 3 earned runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 7 strikeouts for 17 whiffs. He's a cherry bomb still. It's also a gallows pole at 17 whiffs. It's not really one of those cheap ones you see on the limited slate of a day. He's only throwing like 10 changeups at most. And I'm a little weirded out by him limiting that changeup so much because I don't think that's been the reason for his failures. I really think that's a critical pitch inside of his arsenal. This was 6 for 10 strikes. He did not allow a hit on it. He didn't allow a walk on it. Keep throwing it. Throw more of those. You have Bailey Ober, Edward Cabrera, and Bradley Blaylock closing this one out. Blaylock, I returned back to the old he's a Colorado starter, and you don't want those on your team. If you remember that, that's for the old school guys. I started doing that thing in 2015 with pitcher list, the first year pitcher list, second year of existence with pitcher gifts in 2014. Maybe I even did that then, where you don't want to start any sort of Rockies pitcher. Bailey Ober, though, against the Tigers, 5.1 innings of 3 runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 4 strikeouts. He had 14 whiffs and 89 pitches. And what are the two things I've really leaned into with Ober this year? Well, I mean, maybe it's three. One, four-seamer velocity has to go back up. It needs to be like a 92 as it was last year. That's still an issue. This was 90.3. So already like, not too excited. Okay. Second thing is changeups. Now, changeup needs to be the big pitch, the one that like really kills it. And I actually did like the one that I saw against lefties in this one. So that feels all right. The exciting thing is that Bailey Ober located his heater upstairs. If you remember, I used to call him Bailey Ober Rizzy, because Jay Gota Rizzy was like a 70% high location four-seamer guy, if not higher. And then Bailey Ober replicated that earlier in his career. Now, last year, he brought that down to about 62% or so, which is still great, but it's not the 70% that really made him who he is. And this year, it's been like 50% or even like 45%. Like, not what we want. However, this one, 15 over 17 four-seamers to lefties were in the upper third or higher. Only two of them missed. And then 11 out of 13 against right-handers. And the two that he missed with against right-handers are both like middle as opposed to down. This is much better. Much, 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 much better. And I love seeing that command from Bailey Ober. However, he did allow a home run. And that was to Riley Green on a 1-0, 90-mile-per-hour four-seamer upstairs in middle, but up in the upper, like right at the top of the zone, but middle. And he just launched that. So say what you want about that. I think the velocity would help that a little bit. Keep in mind, he is at 7.3 feet of extension, which essentially turns into a 91.5 if it's a 90-mile-per-hour four-seamer. Think about that. It's like a tick and a half. You add about around like 6.5 is average, and then every 0.5 is about a tick. That's kind of how I think about it with extension. So if you're at 6 feet extension, you lose a tick of velocity, of effective velocity. 5.5, you lose 2, and so on and so forth. So Bailey Ober, buddy, you gotta get the velocity back. Like, find a way to do that, but the command is there, and I feel as if this is a step forward, so I kind of want to go with him against the Athletics in Minnesota next time. And last but certainly not least is Edward Cabrera. He's been on such a good run, and he had a golden goal here, 17 West Coast show, the Gallows Pole, but 38% CSW. Love that. And guess what? Every single pitch he threw had a 62% strike rate or higher. I've not seen that. That includes the four-seamer. That's amazing. However, it was 5.1 innings of 5 earned runs, 7 hits, 3 walks, and 6 Ks. What? Look, this was two things. One, he got bamboozled in the first inning, got singled out a bit. And then he had another rough one in the fifth inning for another 2 runs. He also walked some batters that he kind of lost and he didn't execute in the moment well. But he's still good, guys. I mean, the fact that he's throwing as many strikes as he is, his stuff is still very good. 17 whiffs, 38% CSW. Cleveland just got him at the right times. You should definitely continue starting Edward Cabrera. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for supporting what we do. Don't forget to get PL Pro yearly at 15% off. You'll save like $40. You get like 2 months free with promo code podcast, capital letters. Go to pitchwells.com/premium today. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.